Do you remember Christmas as a child? Going to bed on Christmas Eve, that sense of anticipation. You knew what was going to happen in the morning. Now, I don't know how things worked at your house, but I think about my childhood and then my boys and how we did things. The sense of anticipation was almost unbearable on Christmas morning. Do you remember being shaken awake by a sibling who came in telling you it was Christmas morning, it's time to get up? How things worked at your house as far as did you go immediately wake your parents up? My boys went downstairs and they were allowed to open their stockings and whatever gifts were in their stockings, but they had to wait to come get Ann and I up. And then we had breakfast, then we opened our gifts. And do you remember those gifts under the tree? And remember shaking those gifts, trying to guess what it was? You know, you had hinted for weeks or months. You told your parents what you wanted. And then now it's Christmas morning, and you're shaking the presents, trying to guess what it is, what's under the tree. Well, can you imagine getting a gift with the instructions that the gift is for you to give away to someone else? That's spiritual gifts. The Greek word is charisma, and it means gift. It is a gift to us. This is a grace gift. It is given to us by God's grace. The root word for charisma is charis, which is grace. These are God's gifts to us. But they're gifts not for us to use for our own benefit. They're gifts God gave to us to use for everyone else's benefit. This is spiritual gifts. This is charisma. This is God's grace to us. And we see that God's grace, we know from God's word that God saves us by his grace, that he is transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ by his grace. And we know this, we rejoice in this, we celebrate this. But also, God has graced us with these gifts to be able to serve one another as his servants. These are spiritual gifts. Now, I want to invite you to join me in standing, and we're going to read 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Verse 11 isn't up there, just verse 10. Go ahead and stand. Some of you, not sure what you're supposed to do. 1 Peter 4, let's read this together. Ready? As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So Peter gives us two verses on spiritual gifts. That's it. Paul gives us paragraphs, chapters about spiritual gifts. We're going to try to do a survey of both Peter and Paul today. Heavenly Father, open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to understand spiritual gifts. Lord, help us to see that if we are the redeemed, that if we are a child of God, that you have given us a gift, that you intend us to use this gift for your glory to serve your church. So Lord, teach us now from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. If you're using one of the Black Pew Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 4 is on page 1016 of the Black Pew Bible. 1 Peter 4, page number 1016 of the Black Pew Bible. A couple fast facts while you're turning to 1 Peter. The first fast facts is the Lord's command to us, to the church, is to go and make disciples. We're to make disciples of all nations. We're baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are teaching them. All of us are involved in this great commission, and we are teaching. We are teaching disciples to observe all that we have been commanded. and the promise that he is with us to the end of the age. This promise that he's with us to the end of the age connects us back to 1 Peter 4, we were looking at last week, that the end of the age is near. So, we have this command. Spiritual gifts are God's divine enablement for all of us to be able to accomplish this great commission. How do we accomplish the great commission? By using the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given to each one of us. Second fast fact. The impact of each one of us using our gift effectively is it creates unity and harmony in the body. Because each one of us are doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, this draws us together. We need each other. We can't do this alone. We can't accomplish Christ's purpose to go into all the world and make disciples unless each one of us do our part using our spiritual gift that the Lord has given us. This is a mutual commitment that we make to the task that the Lord has left for us. The third and last fast fact is this. We don't need a seminar on spiritual gifts. We don't need a book about spiritual gifts. What we need is Paul's introduction to his section in Romans about spiritual gifts. Paul tells us what's necessary if we're going to effectively use our spiritual gift. And notice what Paul says. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is the first requirement. For those of us who are the redeemed, for those of us who've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, we present ourselves back to God as a living sacrifice for him to use us however he wants to use us. Then he tells us that this is holy. This is acceptable. This is acceptable to God for us to give our lives back to him. This is a spiritual act of worship. This is how we worship the Lord as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, by giving ourselves back to him. Then he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if we want to engage as a living sacrifice, living our lives for the Lord's pleasure, then we don't conform to the world. We're transformed by the Word of God, renewing our mind. And if you want to fully, effectively use your spiritual gift, offer yourselves as a sacrifice to the Lord. This is holy. This is acceptable. This is pleasing to the Lord. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed to the Word of God so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. And the will of God we've looked at the last couple of weeks in 1 Peter. We've seen it a couple times in 1 Peter. Now Paul tells us, here is the will of God. If you wonder what the will of God for your life is, here it is. This is God's will for you. This is how we live. And this, good, acceptable, and perfect. So today, we're going to look at what Peter has to say. Then we're going to consider some of what Paul has to say, more of a survey on Paul. But let's get started. I hope you picked up an outline from the ushers or the greeters when you came in. We're going to start with what Peter says about spiritual gifts. And we have to remember, in 1 Peter, Peter is writing to Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. Christians who are suffering because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important for our understanding. These people are suffering. They're being verbally abused. They're being physically abused. Some of their family members, some of their church members have been killed for the name of Christ. And Peter writes to them and interjects these truths about spiritual gifts. So even in the midst of suffering or persecution, spiritual gifts are important. Peter already mentioned there in verse 7, the end is near. The Lord is returning soon. Even with the Lord returning, Peter says spiritual gifts are important. So if spiritual gifts are important when the end is near, when we're being persecuted, then spiritual gifts are important to us. So Peter spoke to them in verse 7 about their love for one, or about personal holiness. Then in verses 8 and 9, he spoke to them about their love for one another. And now he speaks to them about their service to the Lord in verses 10 and 11. Look at it. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So, let's consider some of the specifics about spiritual gifts. And the first one is this. All of us have received a spiritual gift. Now, I think actually this is plural. I think all of us have received spiritual gifts. None of us have been overlooked. This is exactly what Peter says in verse 10. Each has received a gift. None of us have been overlooked. You've heard me tell the story, one of the trips to Russia that I took, being in an orphanage, and I don't remember who from Lakes was with me. And this particular trip, I remember being in this orphanage. There were probably 35 to 40 orphans. And this orphanage was from kids from about age 3 or 4 till probably 3rd or 4th grade. So 8, 9, 10 years old. And these 35 to 40 kids, we came in there. They had a puppet show that they did, and they just tried to love on these kids. And we took them some gifts. We took them a Bible storybook in Russian. We took them a piece of fruit. This was the only fruit that some of these kids would have all year. We took them oranges, and then we took some candy. And when it was time to hand out the oranges and the Bible study books and the Bible storybooks and the candy, it was interesting that we're in a kind of a small room. The puppet stage was set up, which made it smaller. There's some adults in there. And now we have these oranges, which we think of an orange about the size of a baseball. These oranges were about the size of a golf ball. And so we're going to hand out the oranges. We're getting the oranges, and these kids all press up. And the older kids are pushing through the crowd, reaching their hands out. And I judged them very wrongly. They had their hands out. I thought about those Russian orphans the same way as I would think about American kids who were being greedy, pushing to the front, making sure that they got one. But as I handed out those oranges, those older kids turned around, went to the back of the room, and gave it to the littlest kids, and came back to get another one, and we go to the back and give it to one of the little kids, and we ran out of oranges, and they didn't all get one. Spiritual gifts, God didn't run out. He didn't run out. Each of us have been given gifts. Now, you may say that you don't know what your gift is, and that's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I don't want you to be uninformed. Some of you may say, I don't know how to use my gift, and that's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians that they wouldn't be uninformed. But we have been given a gift, and that's what Peter says to us here. This is the first thing. Now, look at the second thing. Look at verse 10. As each has received a gift, look, use it. Use it. Does anybody need an explanation on what it means to use it? You know what this means literally in the Greek? Use it. You've been given a gift. Use it. This isn't a gift you hang on the wall and look at. This isn't a gift you put on a shelf and you stare at, you admire it. This isn't a gift for you to look at and to reminisce about how good the Lord is to you. Peter says, listen, you've been given a gift. Now use it. Put it to use. God gave you this gift so that it will be used. Literally, this reads, each according as he has received a gift, serving one another. In other words, I use the gift that I've been given to serve you. And you use your gifts that you've been given to serve me and to serve each other. The word here, serve, is diakonia, which you may not recognize the Greek word, but it's been transliterated into English. It means deacon. We have deacons here at Lakes, but all of us are called to serve. All of us give ourselves as servants to one another, and I use my gift. The third thing I want to point out is, how do I use my gift? How do I use this gift that the Lord has given to me? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that it's required of us as stewards that we be found faithful. Do you know what a steward is? A steward is someone who's been given something. And that steward is supposed to take what he's given and use it faithfully. So God has given you a gift. He's told you to use it, and we use it faithfully. We don't set it on the shelf. We don't put it in the closet. We use our gift, and we use it faithfully like a good steward. It's not my gift. It's God's gift to me. So I take the gift, and I use it wisely. I use it obediently. I use it according to the instructions. And now we're back to Christmas morning. How many of you ever tried to assemble that toy without reading the directions? It's only men who raise their hand. Why in the world would we try to use a spiritual gift without reading the instructions? God has given us an instruction manual how to use our gift. So as a good steward, I use my gift, but I use it according to how God designs my gift to be used. So I need to read the directions. I need to follow the directions. The fourth thing I want to point out here are the words varied grace. You see them there at the end of verse 10. The last two words, varied grace. These words are huge. God determines our gift. It's God's grace. He measures it out according to his divine plan. Now, we have probably heard two extremes about spiritual gifts. We have probably heard that all Christians are given one spiritual gift. You maybe have heard that all Christians are given all of the gifts. But I think it's somewhere in between. That God gives us some in a bigger measure than others. We'll be explaining this as we get into Romans and 1 Corinthians. But it's like a bouquet of flowers. You can give somebody a single flower, and there it is. But in a bouquet of flowers, you have some of this, and some of that, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. And you put it all together, and it presents a beautiful image for our eyes to behold. A pleasant aroma for our nose to enjoy. And the varied grace is up to God. God gets to decide. You get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a whole bunch of this. And he gets a little bit of this, a lot of that. God decides. So, as we think about the spiritual gifts, and Peter doesn't name any, I find that quite interesting. Peter doesn't name any of the spiritual gifts. He just gives us two categories. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. But isn't it interesting that Peter says there are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts? Now, let me just ask you a question. If you know your spirit the way the Lord has gifted you, how many of you would say that you have a speaking gift? Just raise your hand. Okay? So you have a speaking gift. And yet it's interesting. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, all of us are called to proclaim his excellencies. Isn't that interesting? So you may not have a speaking gift, and yet you are called to proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness. Isn't it interesting that you don't have a speaking gift, and yet the Lord calls us to the Great Commission, to go into the world and proclaim the gospel, and to teach disciples everything that the Lord has commanded you. Isn't that interesting? You don't have a speaking gift, and yet God calls you to proclaim and to teach. Isn't it interesting in Acts? You don't have a speaking gift, and yet we're called to bear witness. So all of us speak. Just some of us have speaking gifts, and should we use those differently than you do? So how has the Lord gifted you, and how does your giftedness mesh with your obedience to the Lord in other areas? We've heard that spiritual gifts are like snowflakes, no two are alike, or fingerprints, no two alike. But look at Ephesians 4. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So how has God gifted you? Speaking gift? Serving gift? More serving than speaking? More speaking than serving? How has the Lord gifted you? Which brings us to the fifth thing that I'm pointing out in this section, and that has to do with the qualifications. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So listen, if you have a speaking gift, you only have one message. It's the word of God. This is what we speak. We take our speaking gift that God has given to us and we speak the word of God. A number of years ago, after a presidential election, a Sunday school teacher here at Lakes decided that they needed to take their Sunday school class and talk about politics. Well, that's not what we do. And as far as I know, that's only happened once. That's not what we do. We're not here to talk about politics. Now, we may look at biblical principles and how they apply to our society or to government or anything else, but we don't talk about politics in our Sunday school class. That's not why we meet together. We meet together to talk about the Word of God. And if we have a speaking gift, this is what we speak about. If you want to talk about politics, invite people over to your house and talk about politics. This isn't what we preach and teach. We preach and teach the Word of God. And if we serve, we serve by the power of God's grace. This is the qualification. We don't do this by our own power. This isn't in the church's name. This isn't in some person's authority. This is by God's grace, and it's in his authority. And there's one last thing, a sixth thing to see here in verse 11, and it's our motivation. Our motivation, we do this for God's glory. I speak for God's glory. I serve for God's glory. This isn't my glory. This isn't the church's glory. This is for God's glory. All the glory goes to the Lord. Now, please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We're done in 1 Peter. Turn over to Romans chapter 12, and that's found on page number 948. So Peter says two verses about spiritual gifts. Why? Why two verses? When Paul gives us paragraphs, Paul gives us chapters, why does Peter only say two things and the broad categories of speaking and serving? No specific detail. Well, this is just speculation on my part. But I personally think they already knew it. Either Peter had taught them or someone else had taught them. But I think they knew some of the specifics that Paul wrote to the Romans and to the Corinthians. And I think Peter was just giving them a little refresher course, a little booster, to remind them while they're being persecuted, while they're suffering, as they await the Lord's return, use your gifts to glorify the Lord. So Peter gives us two verses. So let's look at what Paul has to say about spiritual gifts. And you see verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12, what we laid down. If we want to use our spiritual gifts effectively, we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Then Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, Paul says. So, some similarities between Peter and Paul. Oh, before that, turn over a few pages towards the back of your Bible, 1 Corinthians 12. Leave a marker in Romans and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's on page number 959 of the Black Pew Bible. You already saw some of the similarities between Paul and Peter. The foundation of spiritual gifts is God's grace. That's charis, God's grace. We see the repeated mentioning of things like God has allotted, measure, varied gifts or variety of gifts or gifts that differ. Both men speak of using the gift. Both men speak of speaking gifts and serving gifts. And one other point of emphasis that we see here is the unity, the one another, the one body, the harmony, the members of one another. So keep that in mind as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Ignorance is not acceptable. If you don't know what spiritual gifts are, if you don't know how to use spiritual gifts, We need to find out. You know, when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Verse 7 is huge. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So there are a couple things that are unique to Paul. He says the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, when we read Peter and Paul on spiritual gifts, we can make a case that God gives the gifts, Jesus Christ gives the gifts, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, and Peter says that here, the manifestation of the Spirit. Not everyone has the same function, he says. The exercising of our gifts isn't the same for all of us. But for all of us, the exercising of our gifts is for the common good. It's not for my good. It's not just for your good. It's for all of our good. And then the illustration of the body, the parts of the body, each part of the body doing what it's designed to do. So when each part of the body, each one of us, when we do what we are designed to do, it's for the good, the common good of the body. When I do what God has gifted me to do, it's for your benefit. When you do what God has gifted you to do, it's for all of our good. Paul also speaks of humility in using our gifts. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Listen, God has gifted me. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm in one of those gifts in Ephesians 4, verse 12, that God says, this gift is God's gift to the church. Doesn't mean that my gift is any better or more important than anybody else's gift. What it does mean is that I use my gift for God's glory to benefit all of you, just like you do. But my gift isn't better than yours. And God challenges me, God challenges you to remember that. How has God gifted you? How has God uniquely placed you in the body to serve the body? Don't get proud about this. We need to remember that the power behind the gift is divine, not human. There's one other thing. This isn't from Paul and it's not from Peter, although Peter was involved. Remember Acts chapter 8? You don't need to turn there. You can look it up later if you want. In Acts chapter 8, one of the deacons, a guy by the name of Philip, went to Samaria and he preached the gospel. And there was an incredible response. Peter and John came to confirm what was happening. And they prayed. and the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to them. There's a man there by the name of Simon, and Simon wanted to buy the gift. And Peter and John rebuked Simon. And there's an important lesson in this. We can't buy the gifts. We can't earn the gifts. We use the gifts we've been given. We use them humbly. We use them empowered by God's Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. We use our gifts, the power of the Holy Spirit, to serve one another, and our gifts interact with each other. It's like some supernatural chemical reaction that when all of us use the gifts we've been given as one body, God supernaturally blesses that to accomplish His work and glorify Himself. Now, I want to stop here, and I want us to consider three issues that adversely affect the blessing of the gifts the Lord has entrusted to us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Look at verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. We need to understand this. This isn't about me. And I'm speaking personally for all of us. This isn't about you. This is about us. This is about the Lord. The body doesn't consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. The three issues that adversely affect the using of our gifts, the first one is jealousy. Desiring someone else's gift. I don't want the gift that God gave to me in His varied grace. I want that gift. I want to do that. That's what I want to do. And I'm jealous. The nose is jealous of the ear. The ear is jealous of the eye. The solution for this is contentment, recognizing that these are God's gift and He disperses them as He wills. The solution for jealousy is a servant's heart, that I willingly use the gift that God has placed in my hand. The second issue that adversely affects the using of our gifts effectively is pride. My gift is better than yours. I'm more important than you. And we look down our nose at people we think are inferior to us. Their gift isn't as important as mine. We ostracize people. The solution for this is the humility of Romans chapter 12, verse 3. So we have jealousy that Paul mentions, pride that Paul mentions, and then both Peter and Paul mention non-use, not using our gift. I like to run. I run a couple times a week. I'm not a fast runner. Not going to get anything anywhere in a hurry, but I enjoy running. Have you ever been barefoot and kicked the bedpost? It's hard to run when you do that. There's a whole lot of things you can do really well when you kick the bedpost, like hop around. But you can't run. Has your foot ever fallen asleep and then you get up and you try and walk? You can't walk until you get the circulation back and, so to speak, your foot wakes up. Some of us are asleep. You aren't using your spiritual gift. It's like you're just along for the ride. You're content to watch everyone else do what they do, but you're not using your gift. Can you imagine an ant standing outside of an anthill with four of his arms crossed, looking at all the other ants coming and going? He looks at all the ants and he admires them and says, "Wow, what a well-oiled machine. I love to just sit here and watch." Now that ant benefits from the food, the work of all the other ants. That ant benefits from the protection of the shelter because of the work of all those other ants. But he just sits and watches. And there are some of us who are just sitting and watching. No one has the spiritual gift of church attendance. Just showing up here on Sunday morning, you have not fulfilled your gift. You have not used your gift. No one has the spiritual gift of watching. No one does. We had a man here in our church years ago who used to say, "I have the spiritual gift of criticism." I'm pretty sure that's not a spiritual gift, but I do have to say he did it pretty well. And there are some of us who are not using our gifts. You say, "Well, Don, you've been yapping for 45 minutes and you haven't told us what any of the gifts are." I know. I'm kind of agree with Peter here. I'm just going to say there are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. Go use yours. So what am I supposed to do? Go look. Just look around and see what needs to be done. And how does the Lord motivate you? Have you presented your body as a living sacrifice? Are you being transformed in the renewing of your mind? Because if you are, then as you look around and you see ways, the Lord will open doors of opportunity for you to use your gifts. This one another part of the body, you know, how many times have you heard me say something to the effect of look around the room? Go learn other people's names. How many people didn't know the name Elena Krieger until she got sick? A few months ago. You didn't even know Elena's name. And now some of you have taken her meals. Some of you have driven her to physical therapy appointments. Some of you have gone to sit in her home so she didn't have to be alone, so she could get up and do whatever needed to be done around the house. Some of you now know who Elena Krieger is because she got sick. Look around the room. There are people who need your help, need you to be involved in their life, in serving them, in speaking truth to them. Look around the room. People say to me, I'll say to you, do you know so-and-so? You say, I don't know them. I say, go find out. Well, how do I find out? Look in the church directory. Go ask them their name. Just go ask them. Get to know them. Get connected to them. Be willing to serve them. Speak truth to them. I mean, I have a hard time with names. Visitor here for the third time, I think. I've been calling him Max. His name's not Max. So I found out what his name is. You know, I have a real problem with people who come to the church with kids, learning the kids' names. I can usually get the adult names fairly quickly, but the kids' names are hard. So I really appreciated the fact when the Moys came that the Moy boys told me the way to remember their names. And how many of you know the acronym JBC? Okay, it's Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. You know what it is? Jonathan, Benjamin, Christopher. Now, you know how I remember the Weirneck kids? The way I remember the Weirneck kids is they're not Leg. It's Emma, Lily, Gabe. Not Lily, Emma, Gabe. Because if it was Lily, they'd be Leg. But they're not Leg. It's Emma, Lily, Gabe. That's how I remember that. So you know what? Go meet somebody. Go meet somebody. How can you serve them? How can you help them? For the common good. This is what Paul is talking about. This is what Peter is talking about. Humbly examine your heart. Are you one of the redeemed? If you are one of the redeemed, then you are the recipient of God's varied grace. I don't know what your gift is. Well, some of you, I do know what your gift is. And my responsibility, part of my responsibility, is encouraging you to use the gift that you know. And for others, it's to find out the gift, encouraging you to find out the gift. And you say, well, I don't know where to start. Well, then start serving. How the Lord directs your heart to the need that you see. And the Lord will open doors and give you opportunities. And this is what Paul spoke of to the Corinthians. We're found faithful. But also he said, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, I'm pretty sure no one's spiritual gift is eating. But we find, our hand finds something to do. And look at this in Colossians. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that the Lord, that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not sure how to use your gift, find something to do and jump in. And I would guarantee you that people like Daryl will find you doing something and ask you to consider doing something else, and then something else, and something else. And a lot of times that's how it works around here. Go find something to do, serve. Find someone to speak truth to. Go speak. Heavenly Father, open the eyes of our understanding. For the spiritually lazy, rebuke them. For the spiritually ignorant, teach them. For the spiritually unsure, encourage them. for those who are wanting to serve you, honor you, glorify you. Lord, show them where to start. And Lord, help us to use our gifts for the praise of your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.